Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 33 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
Pokemon Sleep. Who would have ever thought it would be a thing?
We'll get there. Eric, it's been such a long time since we've recorded a podcast.
Yeah, I feel like it's been an eternity.
Because, you know, we made a sound. All right. We were on summer vacation because you were back home.
Yes.
And we had to wait to move into our apartment.
Which we are still not fully moved into.
Yep.
As of right now.
Still no internet or anything. We're recording at my girlfriend's house sitting on the floor.
On the floor. That's how dedicated we are, to be honest.
But we've got a lot of good things to talk about today.
Oh, plenty. There's been so much news happening lately, and we're not even covering all of it, so it's great.
Everyone, before we start, please, if you enjoy this show, if you've ever enjoyed this show, or you think maybe one day you will enjoy this show, who knows, right? I think you should go rate us on iTunes. You don't even have to, you know, say, oh man, these guys are awesome. Tell us a story, right?
Tell us about all the Pokemon you're going to catch while sleeping.
Yeah, tell us about your sleep habits and all those Pokemon that you like, you know what I mean? Tell us what you thought about the Death Stranding trailer. Tell us if you saw Raising Kratos. Tell us if you liked Rage 2. All these things we're talking about today, you know what I mean? You're picking up what I'm putting down, Eric?
Yeah, I'm smelling what you're expelling.
All right.
Don't like that one.
Eric, it's time for the news.
In the news! Doo-doo-doo! I had to think about it. It's been so long. I had to think about it.
This first one comes from IGN. IGN's Matt Perslow. And that is, Square Enix's Marvel game is called Marvel's Avengers, and it will be at E3 2019. I feel like we all could have probably guessed this, but it's interesting we have the title. It's cool.
It's nice to have it confirmed that's coming.
Yeah, I wonder why they announced it. Like why not just have the reveal, you know, at E3?
Get the people that don't focus on video games to watch E3, I think.
Oh, yeah. You get
all those people that are just Marvel fans and don't play a lot of video games to now come and watch Square Enix's conference because they're expecting to see this Marvel stuff. And I'm interested to see what it is. I'm pretty hyped up.
Well, I mean, I wonder how that's going to work, right? Do you think it's going to be co-op or do you... Because...
It might be. It'd be cool. I mean, it's called Marvel's Avengers, so you're going to be able to play as multiple, right?
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they're going to do, like, you have a team of four, and it's going to be like Final Fantasy, you know, where you had the team of people, and you could kind of switch between, those characters. And so, like, is it going to be, like, Ultimate Alliance, where you can rotate that cast of characters, or is the game going to be more linear and just kind of, you have these characters to play as in this moment, and then you have these characters to play in this moment? So I'm interested to see how it is. I'm really interested to see what they do for gameplay too. Because if they do it with all the heroes,
like that's a pretty vastly different playstyle for each of them, right?
You know exactly. I mean, you're gonna have Iron Man who will be able to fly and do all sorts of things. Spider Man could swing around. Thor, who's just gonna be overpowered. Like also, which heroes are even gonna be in there? Because you have Captain Marvel just focusing from Endgame. She's super OP.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be interesting to see how they do it.
I'm super excited about this. I'm actually really excited for Square Enix's press conference because I feel like we'll probably see more Final Fantasy VII remake. And
yeah, for sure. Maybe we'll get a release date.
Maybe
solid one.
So, yeah.
Honestly, I'm surprised we got a release date for Death Stranding before we got the release date for Final Fantasy VII.
Wait, that didn't happen, right? I just want to make sure. Like that didn't. They didn't.
No, wait, do
it.
We have a release date for?
No,
Final
I
Fantasy
don't
VII?
Think we. I don't think we have a release date for it.
I didn't think we did either. Well, it's releasing in two parts, right? And I think they said the first part's in 2020, right? But we don't have like a solid number release date. I'm pretty sure it's just 2020, which is crazy, because Death Stranding. Hideo Kojima's company formed and made a video game all before Square Enix got this game out.
It's crazy because we joked for so long that game Hideo Kojima was never coming out.
Yeah.
Right? We'd only been playing it this whole time, but it actually is kind of insane that game's coming out this year.
Yeah,
but we will get there. This next one comes from GamesBeat, Dean Takahashi.
That sounds about right.
And it's Pokemon Company unveils a bunch of games from Pokemon Quest China to Pokemon Sleep.
I wouldn't call all those games.
What?
I wouldn't call all those games. Just applications, maybe.
Well, they announced the little like mobile game too.
Oh, that's true. But like, I guess we didn't really see stuff for Pokemon Sleep. But I don't think you could play a game in your sleep.
And they announced the Pokemon, Detective Pikachu is coming to Switch. And it's a different version.
True.
There'll be a different ending, which is weird. I don't know, man. I didn't actually watch the press conference. I just read up all the stuff because I haven't had time.
Yeah, I only watched a recap, and it was the funniest thing ever. It just seemed like it wasn't... In 2019, it seemed like it wasn't a real thing that was happening. Every time... Because... And they played this weird... I don't even know what the music is, but it was very... It reminded me a lot of the Me music, you know, creator. Yeah. It reminded me a lot of that. It wasn't that, but basically every time they introduced a person to the stage, they'd play that music and like go bring the camera over to this Pokeball that was sitting, like it was like a door that was blocking a door basically, so the person would walk out of the Pokeball. Their stage setup was actually kind of cool, but like they'd play this music every time, no matter what. And so like you get done with a trailer for something or something that's playing like intense music or like get hype kind of stuff, and they'd be like, do-do-do-do-do, as the person would just walk out and then bow and then walk over, walk past the podium, handshake the previous person that was talking, walk back to the podium and start talking. It was just, the whole show just seemed like it wasn't, like, real. Like, it seemed like a stage thing, and it not like a real, like, real people put this on to be, gave a serious kind of thing. It was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's also just very confusing, all these things as they announce. Like, Pokemon Sleep, they're turning resting into some sort of gameplay thing. I don't know, man. It just seems some weird thing to gather data.
Plus, every time they talk about it in the show, they talk about it briefly, and then they just stop talking about it. Like, one dude was like, you'll be able to catch, you'll see a lot of your favorite sleeping Pokemon now in Pokemon Go, and Snorlax was shown on screen, and he's like, but that's all I'm going to talk about sleep for right now. And like, you mentioned one thing, dude, after calling this game Pokemon Sleep, and then they just basically told us nothing about the game, which was crazy, because the game's called Pokemon Sleep. I really want to know what it is.
Yeah, they announced some peripheral, that is...
Oh, the Pokemon Go Plus Plus,
yep,
right?
Yep, the Pokemon Go Plus Plus.
That's another thing. Are you seriously calling it the Plus Plus? The Pokemon Go Plus Plus? I guess, I mean, when I think about it, when I heard it, I was like, man, you've got to be kidding me that you're calling it. But when I think about Nintendo's naming conventions, I fully believe it. The Nintendo, or the new Nintendo 3DS,
oh,
like,
yeah,
that kind of shit, they do it all the time. So I really shouldn't be surprised.
And then Pokemon Masters, which is the most, I feel like, conventional game. It's an role-playing game for the iOS and Android platforms, and you're playing as all the trainers from previous games.
That'll be cool. I'll probably check it out if it's free or 99 cents, you know. But
yeah, I don't. Yeah, that's fine.
We'll see how into it I get. I just want the new game for Switch, to be honest.
Yep, we'll get. And it said they will get more Sword and Shield info on June 5th.
Yeah, at the actual Nintendo Direct for Pokemon. So.
Yes,
so
that's very exciting.
So we'll get non-ridiculous content. There was also really funny, because I just kind of saw you scroll past it, was they pointed out that all of them were wearing the Pokemon shirts. And it was just kind of really awkward and weird. But it did serve to remind me that, oh, yeah, Pokemon shirts are a thing. I should get some of those. Because they're all actually pretty cool shirts on that.
Wait, I didn't even see it. Well, let me pull this up quick.
I think it was, like, at the bottom of that website. It's like Poke shirts.
Oh, damn, I didn't see these. These are cool as hell.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, oh, shit, I kind of want some of those. They're kind of sick. I wonder, they're probably going to be outrageously expensive, though, because they're, like, a Nintendo product.
It's presented by Original Stitch. These are cool. Yeah, I guarantee.
Yeah, some of those are like the type of shirt I'd wear too.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, sick. I kind of want some of these.
Those would be like $45.
Yeah, right. And it's like, meh, maybe not. Wait till they're for some reason on a clearance in some other market store.
All right, Eric, this is the biggest news, and it just dropped today. We got a trailer for Death Stranding. And it will be coming out on November 8th, 2019.
Which is the craziest thing, is that they gave us a release date and it's this year.
I feel like I'm eating my fucking fist right now because I talked so much shit, dude.
Both of us, we were pretty much sure that this game was not coming out this year.
Oh, well, I thought it was going to be one of these huge, dragged out, long events or whatever, which is what it felt like, because they announced the game fucking 2 months after they started developing it.
Yeah, and they've been dragging out very Hideo Kojima style with random just things for the audience to figure out and just like craziness.
Okay, yeah. Man. So they dropped the trailer. It's 8 minutes long,
it's 8 minutes and like 23 seconds.
51 long. Seconds.
8 minutes. It's 9 minutes long. It's a 9 minute trailer, which is crazy.
So what did
and
you think
of it? Barely know anything about the game while watching it, which is crazy. I'm a bit surprised about how political it is, for sure. I wasn't kind of expecting how, like, the political overtones in the game.
I mean, I didn't play the Metal Gear games, but, like, those are pretty overtly political, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They have a lot of things. But for... I guess I don't even know what I was expecting, to be honest, because everything we've seen so far has just been so nonsensical that it's just like I didn't have like theories on what the game is.
So,
and I still, I mean, I kind of have ideas now because like Hideo Kojima released a statement saying what the game kind of is and what you're doing, and like that you're just going around making strands, hence the game's name, Death Stranding, and so stuff like that. And so I get the idea, but even watching the gameplay, I was kind of like, it doesn't look that great, so I'm interested to see how it feels to play. In the trailer, like, they even the stuff they were showing was just kind of super janky. Like,
yeah, that weird scene where he's getting chased and he does this
weird back dodge into him. Like, it just seemed weird that they would include that. Like, that, it seems, like, realistic, like, oh, you accidentally hit a button in the game, but I wouldn't put that in, like, a polished trailer.
Yeah, the trailer was cut a little bit weird. I want to talk about some background things, this statement that Hideo Kojima released, and then we'll get into kind of more specific stuff with the trailer.
Okay.
So here's the quote. It says, quote, "People have built walls and become accustomed to living in isolation. Death Stranding is a completely new type of action game where the player's goal is to reconnect isolated cities and a fragmented society. All elements, including the story and gameplay, are bound together by the theme of strand or connection. As Sam Porter Bridges," which is a fucking hilarious name, by the way, "you will attempt to bridge these divisions and in doing so create new bonds or strands with other players around the globe. Through your experience playing the game, I hope you'll come to understand the true importance of forging connections with others. Now please enjoy the latest Death Stranding trailer, Hideo Kojima." So what I find interesting about that statement is that he references other players.
Yeah, that's the kind of big takeaway I got from that too, is it doesn't look like the game's multiplayer at all. Because, I mean, everyone's going to be playing as Norman Reedus, right?
And so, yeah, there's like, just a shit ton of Norman Reeduses.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's going to have, like, some multiplayer aspect like Metal Gear Solid 5 had, where you can, like, attack and raid people's bases, but, like, you're not actually doing it. It's kind of, like, just a simulated kind of thing. And so I'm wondering if it's, like... I don't even know. Like, it's just something you make a connection with another player and you get, like, experience or something. Something along those lines.
Maybe,
you know what I'm saying?
Maybe. I mean, there's this huge talk about, like, the other side. Maybe it's kind of a journey situation where it's, like, you see another player, but they're not, like... You know what I'm saying? Kind of, it's like a shadow of another player or some shit. Like,
yeah, that could work, too. It'd be crazy if it had, like, that kind of 5v1 aspect to it, where, like, other players are the BPs and you play as Norman Reedus and, like, you have to get away from him. I don't think it's that,
no.
But that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's insane that it was such a long trailer and I just came away with more questions than I...
Right? Like, I didn't even think it was possible.
It answered some questions, too, that I did have, like, what is it?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a third-person action game or whatever. You're connecting cities. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
It's unclear as to whether it's an open world. I don't know. My guess is yes. I don't know.
I'm thinking it's an open world like Witcher is an open world, where it's that kind of segmented off areas. You go through a loading screen to get a new area, you know what I'm saying? But like,
yeah,
you have these big sprawling areas that you can explore, and then once you get to the border, you load briefly and then you're into another area.
So we're like, what's up with the babies? Apparently the babies are they fucking use them to juice these things that let them see the bad guys or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And the one guy's like, oh, I feel bad about doing it every time, but I was a little confused because I was like, are they hurting the babies?
No, he was saying he feels bad as in, I think... And then Norman Reedus is like, well, yeah, you're tapping into the other side. And so I think the baby, it gives him like kind of this, sickness, I guess, or kind of, it affects the people who tap into the babies. I think the babies are perfectly fine because the babies are emitting the evilness.
Okay.
I'm just going to use that vague term. But like, and so it affects them every time you wire into the baby. It's like, it's kind of like polluting your body, basically.
Okay.
That's what I got from it anyway.
I thought it was interesting that they like specifically reference America.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Sam Bridges is like rebuilding America. And he's like, I don't want to rebuild America. And she's like, you gotta.
Mm-hmm. And that was just super over the head, I think. But some things don't need to be vague sometimes.
I don't know. I feel like just from my limited experience with Hideo Kojima, I feel like he's so like unabashedly like campy, but in like kind of a good way.
Well, he is very much campy in like the 80s style of camp, you know? And, like, he is a big movie fan. If you follow him on Twitter at all, like, he's constantly tweeting about movies and music. And so, like, I don't know. His games always have this level of camp. And I'm wondering, like, this game to me seems like it's going to be Metal Gear Solid level of cutscenes where they're just going to be, you're going to be playing for 20, 30 minutes, and then you're going to get to a cutscene and set your controller down for another 20 and 30 minutes watching just a movie play out. I just have a feeling it's going to be like that.
Yeah, I don't know. There's this
Especially because of the level of actors in this game, too.
Oh, yeah. It's insane. I feel the talent in this game is insane. Like, Norman Reedus is the main character, and he's a high-level actor. Troy Baker's playing what I presume is, like, the main villain, unless that's Matt. I don't really know how that plays
out. Think it looks like... Well, especially because at the end of the trailer when Troy's giving this monologue... And it showing Mads get up, and he's like, good thing I have a connection to the other side. So I'm thinking Mads is like
He's some undead soldier or whatever. Yeah. He's got these fucking army guys, and he flicks the cigarette into the fire, oil or whatever.
I'm thinking he's being commanded by Troy's character.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm totally in. Here, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if the game's gonna be fun to play. Like, it looks fine to control.
It's gonna
be
an experience. Yeah, that's what it's gonna be.
But I'm super in for whatever fucking weird ass ride this is.
And I'm hoping, because if you remember a long time ago, their engine they're using is the engine Guerrilla made for Horizon, and so I'm hoping that the game plays like Horizon, because Horizon played great.
Yeah, Horizon was great.
And so I'm hoping that's how the game plays, and that what we watched in there was just kind of janky.
One of the interesting things I saw on Twitter today was that someone was like, damn, you know, Hideo Kojima, you know, he created Kojima Productions fucking 3 years ago or whatever, and they're already coming out with a game.
Yeah.
And then I think it might have been Jason Schreier replied and was like, yeah, I mean, it probably helps that they, you know, use someone else's engine that was made to play, make a game like this.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So I feel like that's super cool that they kind of just, they had tools already, and they had I'm assuming kind of it's going to play similarly. There was shooting and stuff in Horizon, so I assume there wasn't like this huge transition to try to make this game with the tools. And then they had such a shortened production schedule then, which I think is sweet.
Yeah, and plus I think Kojima had just such a vision he wanted to. Like, it didn't have... I think this game avoided a lot of the pre-production that it takes up a lot of time. And that's why it's been kind of going so fast. Because I'm sure Kojima just had a solid idea right off the bat for what he wanted to do. And, like, because, I mean, he had been wanting to leave Konami for, like, ever and make his own game. So, like, I think
he had ideas
that, like, he was just waiting for the opportunity to make. And so I'm sure that just eliminated a lot of the pre-pro time and just sped up production on the game. I'd be interested to see a documentary about how this game was made.
For sure. So I want to point out another interesting thing I saw on Twitter. This is Jason Schreier quote tweeting Nibel. And Nibel says, rumor, according to the official Taiwanese PlayStation Facebook page, Death Stranding is set to launch on November 8th. And this was before the trailer, obviously. And then... Jason quoted that, says, looks like Death Stranding is about to get announced for a November release. Obviously it was. And he said, The Last of Us 2 was also planned for fall 2019, but I actually just heard it got bumped to early 2020, possibly February. Either way, wild final year for PS4. So I thought this was interesting because the Death Stranding thing turned out to be true.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I feel like that kind of lends itself to believe that the Last of Us thing was also true. And that's insane to me, because I really thought that, like, spring 2020 was pushing it.
Yeah, me too. But I'm fine with this if it is true, because I would...
I'm ecstatic for this if it's true.
Yeah, because, I mean, it means we have a release window if it's true. But I'm also fine with it in the fact that if it was delayed, that means, sweet, like, Last of Us just has... Naughty Dog has had more time to work on it, which is great. Which I'm wondering... I really would be awesome if the next state of play we get the release date for Last of Us, which would be crazy.
That was another thing, is that I was like, oh, we're gonna, you know, PlayStation's not gonna be at E3. That means I feel like they're not ready to say when The Last of Us 2 is gonna come out.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of true if it just got delayed. I don't know, man. It's just an interesting thing to think about, and that's why I was like, wow, February 2020 to me seemed early for that game.
Yeah. Really does. Kind of crazy.
All right, Eric, that's about all I got for the news, because we have a lot of other things to talk about. Today's Hot Topic, sponsored by Hot Topic. Maybe one day.
Sponsored again by them?
Maybe.
I thought you'd given up on that.
No, whatever. It's the hot topic. All right, Eric. Yeah. It's Raising Kratos. So obviously over the break, PlayStation released this documentary about the making of the new God of War, which is obviously one of my favorite games of all time. It's called Raising Kratos. And we both watched it, and I want to talk about it for a little bit. What were your reactions? You just watched it yesterday, yeah?
Yeah, so I watched the second half of it yesterday. I watched the other half a few days ago, and because we haven't had internet, so I've been watching it when I can. And I think it's kind of crazy the amount it sheds a lot of light on the crazy amount of effort that goes into making these games. And I think it's crazy that PlayStation just had the kind of wherewithal to film this documentary no matter what. Because like when they started filming, they didn't know that this game was going to be as successful as it is.
Yeah, for sure.
And so like, I'm kind of curious on how that conversation went down. It's like, hey, we want to do a documentary about your process of making this game. And they're like, what if the game sucks? Well, we're going to make it anyway.
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't have released it.
Makes me wonder is like, would they have released it if it did? Because that'd be also, I would love to see a documentary on people making a game that fails and like what happens in those final months. Because obviously towards the end of the documentary, when Santa Monica's going gold on God of War, like there's obviously this level of stress, but you also see this level of relief. And we know now that how successful God of War is, but you see this level of concern that's just growing, especially in Corey, that he's just like, we have spent 5 years making this and we are about to release it and people could hate it.
Well, especially because, I mean, there was that huge tense moment where they're trying to get the game delayed because they have, you know, they showed this huge amount of, they were like, at this point, we wanted to have zero bugs. And
oh,
right
they
now
had,
we have
yeah, they had like
fucking 5,000 or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, a crazy high number.
And they're like, that was such an insane scene where he's like, yeah, at this point, our benchmark was to have zero bugs and mm-hmm. we have like fucking 5,000 logged.
Yeah.
And so he's on the phone with the PlayStation or whatever. And they're like, yeah, we think that like this is like the earliest we can go or whatever. And he's like, that's like the earliest, like we have to, like you have to push this game. And I just thought it was insane. It was this insane look into like how this stuff happens. And it's like that could have went horribly. Can you imagine if God of War launched and the game was just like
super buggy?
Yeah, like logs floating and all that stuff. Like that was one of the most magical parts about that game is that it ran so well.
Oh my God, yeah, that game runs amazing. And especially because you see not all the bugs, because obviously there's freaking massive mounts, but they show a lot of the big ones.
Yeah,
like Atreus's face just screwed up, like
the tree walking Corey, itself.
The tree walking itself, and Corey just being like, how is Atreus's or the boy's face still messed up at this point in development?
Yeah.
And you see just, it's crazy, because Corey's a big part of this too. And they really make him look kind of like an asshole, but like you relate to him the whole time. Like if you've ever had to take in just a class project, a very small scale, if you're ever charged, it's stressful no matter what. And so being on this large scale production, you see him just, he degrades the whole, like throughout the whole thing until like the very end when it's finally out. And oh my, I choked up when he's watching the reviews and like, he just starts like choking up over seeing the good scores and stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like it hits, like, I saw that video when it came out, right? And I had just gotten to God of War. And it just, like, hits so much harder because that game means so much to me now.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about how I thought this, I mean, obviously it was sort of PR friendly. No one was like, man, fuck Sony, right? Like that. But I really felt like it was less PR friendly than I would have anticipated, because it literally PlayStation put it out, because it comes out and in the beginning they're talking about how like they're showing all these articles that are like, God of War is dead, dude, like,
oh yeah,
like they need to kill Kratos, like this is, we're done with this series.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's super candid, like cool, that's awesome that they're talking about like this series has really struggled since you know Ascension comes out and people are like, we don't care about this character anymore.
Yeah.
And then it kind of develops and you know, and it's just it's all like this cool, like how the game came together. But then there's these scenes where they're talking about like how much effort's getting put into this game. And one of the hardest hitting scenes is they're talking to one of the boss people and they're like, you know, how do you manage like a work life balance? And the one person answers it.
Yeah. Shannon Studstill. And I can't remember Yumi's last name.
Yeah. And Shannon, right. And she goes, I don't want to answer that question
at
right
this
now.
Time. Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, dude, like that.
Yeah.
Hurts.
And she gets choked up. And
that
like
hurts so
God.
Bad. Cause you know that like, she just hasn't seen her fucking kids or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, so it sucks so bad. And I was like, I cannot believe that's in this documentary.
Yeah. Well, they did put that one part in too, where, the guy stands up in front of, in like front of everyone at the studio, and he's like, he's thanking him basically for working as hard as they, yeah. as he is. But he also, it's like very weird wording, which I don't know if I was just kind of looking into it, but it seemed like he was thanking the people that were working hard, but wasn't thanking the people that went home to see their families and stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of super weird. It was very short, but I thought it was just kind of weird. It just kind of stood out to me while I was watching it. But man, crazy how that game just came together. And I noticed there's a Naughty Dog one for The Last of Us, and I kind of want to go back and watch that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because I don't remember anyone ever talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I feel like this one was way more highly publicized.
Yeah, so I kind of want to go back and watch the one about that. It's full length, too. It's
I did not know that.
Yeah, because I saw it just because it came up on my YouTube recommendations, and so I'm like, I'm going to go back and watch that one now, because I'm sure that one's interesting as hell as well.
There was a lot of, I feel like they really dived a lot into like all the actors and the mocapping and stuff too, which I thought was really interesting.
Oh, that was crazy. Just to see the levels that these actors went like put into their performances. Even I don't remember the little kid's name that plays Atreus, but even his performance and the stuff he does, like, oh my God, the one scene, it's like towards the beginning, and Corey Barlog explains, like, it's like explaining loss to the kid.
Yeah.
Like, if he, like, I don't remember the analogy he uses. And, like, the kid gets choked up in real life. And Corey just stands up and says, good, use that.
Oh,
and then
no.
walks away. And it's like, Corey Barlog looks like the villain in there. But, like, he obviously, he's great. He got the performance he needed out of these people. And they, holy crap, did they perform in the game.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's insane to think, like, that kid was so much younger when they started production.
Yeah. And it's crazy. I was just constantly blown away too, because it would show, it kind of cut between what was happening in game and then showing them performing it. And I was just blown away by the level of performance they're giving while in these mocap suits.
Yeah, these weird ass mocap suits.
Working with just janky props. Like when he pulls in the Blades of Chaos scene, he doesn't even have chains.
Yeah.
He's just pretending there's chains wrapping around his arms, but yet he's literally just like ruining him emotionally.
Yeah, and I mean, he talks about how he even tears, like the guy who plays Kratos, like tears
yeah,
up
Chris
when they're
Judge.
Interviewing him, because he's like, yeah man, like this one's like for my kids, like, or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
it's an apology and a love letter.
Yeah,
and then
oh
he's
my
like
God.
And that's all I'm gonna say on that. And then he just kind of chokes up and he's like, you're good. And he's like, and he does, like, Chris Judge also just seems like an awesome person.
Yeah, he seems
with.
Really fun.
And but yeah, I do want to meet him. He seems like a sick person.
I thought it was cool when they like had filmed this trip to like Norway that they went, or what, I don't know if it was Norway. They went to like
it was Iceland.
Yeah, Iceland, and then they did this whole like trip. They were like filming it all. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, and one person's like, yeah, I really didn't have a vision for this game until we went to Iceland and stuff and saw all this stuff. Oh, it was also super interesting how they talked about, or the composer talked about making the music.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Which was also very weird. I thought it was weird that the composer talked the most about how much work you have to put in into making something.
Yeah, I mean,
great.
He even talked about like how he has no work-life balance, and like this
yeah.
is the dude who made the music.
Yeah, alone, which was crazy. And yeah, he was talking about you in this, in like the way he does stuff, you're either working 100% of the time or you're working none of the time. And he's like, either just there's no in between.
Oh my God. Anyways, I really enjoyed it. I really think it's worth a watch.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, if you played God of War, even if you haven't played God of War, like if you're not interested, if you're just interested in video games and how
yeah.
they're made, like you need to watch Raising Kratos. Cause I feel like it's a good peek in. I mean, this made me want to watch, cause I feel like I've been saying forever that I want to go watch, the documentary that Double Fine made.
Oh yeah,
and I cannot remember the name of it.
I don't remember the name of it as well.
But like Tim Schafer and all that stuff, and they document their whole experience making Broken Age.
Yeah,
that's what the game's called, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that one's like even more candid, like way.
Yeah, because I mean Tim Schafer also is a very unfiltered person, whereas I feel like Corey Barlog has kind of got this weird personality. So, where Tim Schafer is just he'll say exactly what he needs to say, so. I think I'll probably go back and watch that one. I want to watch the Naughty Dog one too.
For sure.
I just find it's just super fascinating to see how these things, especially because, I mean, we've been playing video games our whole life, and so it's interesting to finally see the other side of it and kind of get these unlike censored looks into them.
Yeah, so. Like semi-uncensored.
Yeah.
I just really feel like it helps to like try to empathize with these people and
yeah.
I mean, they're pouring their hearts into these things, you know what I mean?
It kind of makes you feel better, or not better, it kind of makes you think twice about when you're just going to go shit on game on Twitter or something.
Well, yeah, and so let's get to that. Bump, 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 bump. Game of the show! We're talking about Rage 2.
Let's just rip this game apart now.
Let's keep in mind that a lot of people probably worked really hard on this game.
Yeah, so our tech, we'll have our discussions here, and then we'll have a full review up on Monday, our first review.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it, our first full-length video review.
Yeah, you could check that out on lateforembargo.com or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/lateforembargo, because we don't have that yet. But just look up for late.
Wait, is that not a thing? It doesn't just
we don't have. No, it doesn't autofill. We got to get to a certain number before we can get that. Well, we'll eventually have it. You just look up Late for a Burger on YouTube. You'll get to it.
That's lame. So, okay, Rage 2. I was super, super, super excited for this game because I was like, it's Doom. It looks like Doom, right? Like, it looks like it plays a lot like Doom.
Yeah, it looks like a neon.
Yeah, a neon punk open world
Mad Max Doom.
Yeah.
Sounds sick, and I still want that game.
And so I got the game, and I was like, it plays so well, right? Like, it's so tight.
Oh, the game starts out super well, I think. It starts out a little campy.
Well, the story never there was not a moment in that entire story where I was like, oh, cool. Like,
me either. The story starts out super campy and stays super campy the whole game. And I wrote in my notes while playing, this is a very video gamey story. Like, this is what I think about. When an old will like explain video games, you know, like this is what like
this
the
is
story
what,
they're thinking
this
about.
This is what like our grandparents think video games are.
Yeah, like just campy, this cheesy dialogue and just kind of, I don't know. I don't even know the right words to describe it right now, but it's got this 80s dialogue, like action movie dialogue vibe to it. But anything they say doesn't matter.
Well, here's my issue is that like, They clearly wanted, right? Like, they were going for the campy, right? Like, they were going for campy
fun.
Yeah,
they want... I think that's the Rage aesthetic, is this kind of campy thing.
But, like...
They really lean into it. But it's too campy to the point where there's... Nothing matters.
Yeah, and so that was my... I mean, I knew that the story was probably going to be whatever, right? I was like, okay, fine. I didn't care about any of the characters.
I wasn't, going
like,
into that for the
but,
story.
But my real issue was that I thought that this game, the way that they kind of advertised it, is that it was going to be this, you know, real vibrant punk aesthetic, right? Like, the world's going to be so cool and exciting. But, like...
Yeah, they...
It was so much fun to play, but I just felt like I didn't care about the world. I didn't care about... And nothing felt as, you know, cool, like... fun and aesthetic as they, you know, they had
they
set,
kinda
like, they kind of advertised
yeah.
it as. And even like, even though it was so much fun to play, I never felt like anything was particularly rewarding.
Yeah. With the neon, I feel like the neon stuff was kind of just tacked on. Because like in the trailers and stuff, and the, even the box art of the thing has this pink and green neon. And so you think this game's going to be plastered with this pink and green neon stuff. But there's maybe a flare or two every once in a while.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That you
like,
see, and like, it just doesn't. There's never the use of the aesthetic. Never gets really used. I mean, even the guns you use, I got all of them, and like, none of them are that fun. Like, I still I had the most fun with basically the AR and the shotgun.
I actually really liked the gravity.
I just never
cannon or whatever.
The gravity gun, I just never. I don't know. It was fun, but it seemed really gimmicky to me, where, like, plus, because you had to use it in a way that you take damage still. They had a lot of guns where it doesn't give you that immediate satisfaction, you know? You have to shoot them, and then you do the thing.
Yeah.
Like,
I just felt like it was
fire.
Useful. I used it a lot in the final mission.
Oh,
where,
I
you know, where the, you've got the guy, the big monster, and then in between his like attacks, they have all these dudes rushing at you.
Yeah.
And since it was so close to a ledge, you just fucking shoot those dudes with the gravity things, you fucking blast them off.
Oh, okay.
Fun.
Yeah,
I
that works.
That.
What I used the gun that I used the most was the hyper cannon, because it was just overpowered as hell. I don't know if you got that one, but
yeah, I got it.
Yeah, you charge it up and just releases just this mass amount of energy. And then to deal with the guys that would show up, I just do the slam. So upgraded the slam all the way, so I basically have it right away after I use it. And so you could just slam down. Also, the slam's super OP because even on the enemies that are like armored, that it take a lot more damage, you just slam them and they're basically dead.
Yeah. It's really crazy. I used the slam a lot, and so even the nanotrine ability, as I felt like we're gonna make the game, and they did. They changed up the pacing of the way you played a lot.
Definitely,
like,
from the beginning to the end, it plays. Yeah. I think even better.
The one I used a lot was the shot. What was it called? Shock? Like where you fucking
It's like a force push.
Yeah, you force push the dudes. I like that one a lot. And I liked slam a lot. I thought defibrillation was pretty useful because I feel like I died probably more than you did.
Oh yeah, I didn't die due to enemies at all. I died a couple times just falling off the map, but that was it. So I didn't die once actually in the game. Which was another one of my complaints is I should have just played on hard. But I kind of wanted to get when I play a normal, I picture that's the experience.
That's
the
standard
devs,
experience.
The devs want. So that's what I was kind of thinking. So. I'll probably try it out on hard just to see if it's any more challenging. I really don't care, though. That's the problem. But, like, my big thing is the gunplay was so good, and I just wanted to keep doing that. But every time I felt like myself getting into this rhythm of the gunplay and, like, yeah, I bam, bam with a shotgun here. I switch the AR so I don't have to reload the shotgun. I mow down like 6 enemies. Uh-oh, there's a big guy. Switch to the rocket. Blow him out of the way. I'm like, hell yeah, this is super fun.
Yeah, you're slamming,
and then combat's
you're double
over.
Jumping. Yeah.
Yeah, and then combat's over, and then here's a screen that shows you what you got, and then here's a screen showing you your XP, and then it's just quiet.
And now here, like, here's go look for fucking 7 storage containers.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh yeah. Here, go look for these storage containers that suck to find. Yeah. Even if you find the thing that helps you find them easier, it still sucks.
It's
to
still
find
so
them.
That radar was so janky because it was like you don't know which floor it's on, and like, it was so annoying.
And then I just gave up trying to find them all. I'm like, I'm not 100%ing this game. I don't care. They don't give me anything really that I need.
That was my problem, is that like I was like, I loved going to do the bandit camps. Those are my favorites because they were the most fun because it was so the gun combat. But even after doing those, I was like, okay, cool. I got this nanotrite thing.
Yeah,
and then
nothing you do is rewarding in this game, which is the big problem.
It didn't have that loop that hooked me. The only hook was that I liked, like, shooting things.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? Like, I didn't feel like I was being rewarded, like, because the upgrades didn't really matter to me. Mm-hmm. None of the, like, weapon upgrades were that cool to me. I didn't care about the vehicle.
Basically, well, the thing about the upgrades, too, is basically once you got the thing, that was it. The upgrades were basically just more damage, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or a wider radius.
Or you can use the thing quicker.
Was pretty much it. It doesn't like, give you something like this gun does now this and then does this. Like, it would have been crazy if, I don't know, if the AR shoots in 2 different directions and basically sprays out. Like, that would have been sick. I don't know. Just
and that's
kind of
what I imagined.
Weapon,
I don't know why I kind of went into it thinking that, like, the guns were going to have... I thought the guns were way crazier than they were.
Yeah, they were basically pretty normal, except with the exception of, like, the fire pistol, the gravity gun, and the last one you have to charge up for. I can't remember the name of it. But, like, that was basically it. Like, even those weren't that extraordinary. They just had an ability that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And so I really just came away from it being, like, it felt like an open-world Doom in a bad way. Because Doom had this incredible pacing, right? Like,
yeah,
because
Doom was
it's, like,
nonstop.
This constant, like, adrenaline rush. Like, I feel like I was fucking... on like Adderall or something the whole time. You know what I mean, where it's like hyper focused, the music pounding, you're rushing through, there's all these guys, the enemies are super varied and you have to deal with them in different ways, but like I don't, this game felt like you get like a morsel of that kind of, and then you stop and you fucking jump in your car and you drive for 40
minutes.
You
drive for forever, and then even my big problem with the cars too when I was finishing up the game the other night is I just felt so slow. Like, the only time I felt like I was moving at a good pace was when I was holding down boost. And I'm like, this should be the default speed, and my boost should be making me just balls to the wall go fast. And, like, but no. Like, you are going so slow at just a default pace. And I'm like, this is just boring to drive.
Yeah.
And... if you, God forbid, you go off road in this game,
oh, yeah,
you're getting
you're
stopped
screwed.
Immediately.
Like, it's actually impossible to drive off the road.
Yeah, like it's just like should these vehicles be all-terrain in a wasteland situation and not be confined to these roads?
Yeah, and once you get the like the helicopter, basically, I you bet your fucking ass I was not driving anymore.
Oh yeah, I didn't do any. Once I got the helicopter, because you can just go directly to your point and get there so much faster.
I mean, the helicopter is actually the most fun I think I had because it was way easier to find things. So it'd be you're flying over a question mark, you land quick. You're like, oh, what's this?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I got all my arcs was I just flew around and was just able to find.
Dude, I have a question. How did you get into the arc with like electrical thing?
You have to go around. There's like power supply. There's like kind of like how there's the bandit camps, there's power supply camps as well, and you have to go and do each of those.
Oh.
And it's more of a horde mode where a bunch of enemies keep piling in at you, and you have to keep these charge stations from getting shut down by them.
Okay,
so you have to kind of go around and kill a ton of people.
Yeah,
so which was honestly the most fun because I felt like those were the most difficult.
Okay, see, I didn't really do a whole lot of those because I kept trying to get into that arc, and I was super confused because I felt like it was never.
Yeah, maybe it's clear.
Yeah.
I just kind of got it because it says, like, power, and I had done a power supply thing already when I saw it.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, I just have to go and do all these, and I can open it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, see, there were a couple. I did, like, pretty much all of the bandit dens because those were super fun. I never fucking touched the authority sentries because they were so stupid. I just thought they were boring.
Authority sentries were so boring. That was basically how all the boss fights were, too. Which another big problem in this game, there's no variety in the fights. Other than, like, just grunt fighting where you make the variety's on you how you attack it, but the bosses all the same. If it's the big troll dudes, you shoot them in the chest until they go on a knee, and then you shoot their little back thing. If it's these sentries, you just shoot them. You stand in one place and jump over the little jump rope things of electricity and shoot them. And then even if they target you, the health infusion things are so OP that you just keep using them and you're fine.
So I don't know, man. We're really bagging on this game a lot. Yeah. Like, and my problem is that I just feel like it had such potential and it had such a good foundation. Yeah.
I think if this game had another year and a half to really nail down the game, I think this game could have been great.
And it's because like, I don't know, you know what I mean? If there was more stuff to do in the wasteland, I would have enjoyed it. Like,
the wasteland feels like a wasteland.
It really does, and it's so empty. And I liked that they put some variety in there. Like, you know, there's the fucking jungle part, and then there's, like, the swamp part. But those were also, it kind of just felt like.
There is nothing, I mean, other than just an aesthetic, it wasn't anything.
It kind of just felt like they did that so that people didn't complain that it was just a wasteland.
Yeah.
Which
is, like, I mean, I remember playing Mad Max. And that game is all desert everywhere. But that game, maybe because the car combat was so good in that game, and you could go off-road.
I mean, this is the same developers, like.
Is it?
Yeah.
No, Avalanche.
It's Avalanche.
Oh, Avalanche made this game?
Didn't they?
No, I don't think so.
Who made this game, then? I'm pretty sure it's Avalanche.
I don't think it's Avalanche.
I'm going to Google it quick. Yeah, Google it. Talking.
Anyway, in Mad Max, you were able to go off-road, and the wasteland felt alive. Because, I mean, there's tons of enemies everywhere, and everyone wants to kill you in that wasteland. Whereas in this wasteland, there's just random cars that I noticed that were just kind of driving around, and I'd shoot at them, but they wouldn't shoot you back. And, like, so you just kind of drive past them and avoid them, and nothing really big happens.
It was id and Avalanche.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then I don't know what happened.
Yeah, because that was one of the things, too. I was like, oh, I'm really excited for the cars. Like, that sounds fun. It's super, a lot of different cars. You upgrade your own thing. But, like, I did one convoy, and I was like, that was boring, man.
Yeah, I mean, even that's all convoys are like that. So.
And like, there's not really that many things to just kill out, like, with your car. I don't know. Sometimes it was fun to, like, try to drive up close to bandit dens and stuff and, like, try to fucking pick them off with your car gun.
Well, even the car upgrades aren't that fun. Although they just give you more guns, which is, like, whatever. Another problem I had with is where I feel like they just threw in the neon and colors is when you're doing the car, like the convoys, when you get to the front cars and you're shooting them, just a massive amount of sparks comes off them. Did you have this problem?
Well, I only did one. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, it might be just I don't know if it's a problem just on PC because maybe my settings weren't, but I was running it at high settings for everything. So I can't imagine it was a problem on my end, but just when you get to it and you're shooting it, you're basically, your whole screen's being flooded with these sparks and you can't see shit because it's just like a massive amount of light coming into your screen. And it doesn't, it's supposed to, like, make it intense, I think, that you're doing damage, shit's flying off this car or whatever. But it's just like, this is blinding. I'm trying to see and shoot this car, but I can't even see. Luckily, the auto-targeting makes up for it, so it doesn't even matter. I just have to hold the left mouse button pretty much to kill it. But, man, I was just like, these aren't fun. You do the same things over and over. Oh, another thing, just because I talk about it, I feel like I'm complaining about this game a lot, but it is what it is. Did you have, like, weird save issues at all?
No, I had some weird audio bugs, though.
Okay.
So there was a portion in the very beginning of the game where your mentor mom person dies, and her hologram is, like, talking to you in that first arc.
Yeah.
And after, like, the first sentence, her audio cuts out, and there was nothing, and I just had to read the subtitles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had that happen to me once with the dude that lives in the basement at that bar.
Yeah, and so I had, where, like, his multiple, audio, yeah. I had multiple issues like that.
Yeah, I only had that happen once where his audio cut out, but his mouth was still moving. I didn't have subtitles on, so I'm like, I don't, what you're saying doesn't matter anyway. But yeah, I had this weird problem with, if I saved and quit, every time I'd go to the save and it'd be like, if you save now, we'll load you at your last available checkpoint. And, like, it wouldn't save me at the point where I was at.
Oh, okay.
And so every time I'd load back in, I'd be, like, a step behind where I left myself off. So I had to repeat stuff.
Oh, okay, okay. And that sounds annoying.
Super freaking annoying.
I played on PS4, and so I kind of just always left the game on. You know,
yeah.
I mean?
I can't do that on my PC. But, like, so the save stuff was just super weird.
I do want to spend a moment talking about the story, and I'm just going to summarize it for everyone.
Go
for
it.
If this interests you, just if it interests you. Okay, so you start off the game. You're part of this settlement, right, of all these high-class rangers. And you're being invaded by all these mutants and the Authority. And the Authority are these big bads that are trying to, like, kill off the human race or whatever. And you come in, and you're shooting all these mutants and stuff, yada, yada. You meet up with, like, your mom character who, like, took you in because you were an orphan. And you watch this dude get fucking murdered by this huge-ass monster that ends up being the final boss. And you, like, it's kind of gross because you, like, take his dead body out of the suit.
And you put it on.
It's, like, super a really weird scene. And then you watch your mom get killed by the main bad guy, General Cross. And you're like, oh, fuck, what, yada, yada. And they all leave and stuff. And you go into this arc, and a hologram of your dead mom is like, you have to restart Project
Dagger.
You were
the secret all along, pretty
much. You're the last ranger. You're the very last.
I planned for this. Yeah. I planned for my death and never told you that you were going to be the last ranger.
Yeah, you're the last ranger. You got to do Project Dagger because it's going to take down all these guys, because we didn't do that before for some reason.
Because when we were at our full stock of resources, we never did it.
And so you're supposed to go find these three characters, and one of them is Dr. Cavassier, who's this really weird dude who rides a mutant around. It's kind of gross and weird.
Yeah,
that's weird. And there's the mayor of that town that I don't remember her name, and there's the dude who, like, runs a bar.
Remember his name either.
Yeah, and so you have to, and then you go do these missions for the characters. The mayor wants you to get this tank.
Get rid of the other weird douchebag that's in her town.
Yeah, get rid of
the
weird douchebag who's, like, trying to take over town, and then you get this tank, right?
Yeah.
The dude in the bar wants you to go clear out all these mutants and stuff, and then you have to go get a DNA sample of General Cross so that you can, I don't, whatever.
Weird, because then you fight General Cross, which is, like, midway through the game.
Yeah, that was kind of, I actually thought that fight was kind of cool.
Yeah, that one had, because it had mechanics to the fight,
yeah,
actually.
And so that was cool, and he dies, and his whole gimmick is that he can just resurrect himself.
Well, he's cloning himself.
Yeah, he's cloning himself.
So one dies,
then
another takes his place.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of whatever.
Yes.
And Dr. whatever is new. Oh, no. So the one guy the guy in the bar is going to get you into the Authority compound. The Dr. Cavassier guy gets you a thing to stab General Cross with so that he can't clone himself.
Oh, the nanorite virus.
The nanorite virus or whatever. And then the tank is the really powerful vehicle that's going to get you in there. And that's basically, it's, like, insane how short the actual mission structure is. Like,
yeah,
it's like seven missions.
Yeah. You probably get there. If you just run straight story.
Oh, yeah. Six,
7 hours,
I guarantee.
Easy.
Like,
easy 6 hours.
So it's super short. You go to this huge authority compound. You kill all these dudes. You get to General Cross. He's riding that giant fucking mutant. You kill it. You stab him. You almost die, but you don't. That's literally that. Yeah. That's the entire story.
Yep, that's it.
And it just felt, I don't know, man. I don't know what I expected, but none of the characters were interesting or cool.
Yeah, I was kind of relieved, honestly, when it was as short as it was. Because for some reason, I was expecting this game to be a 20-hour game. Especially during the start. Like, they were setting up, like, that you had to do so much. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit, this game's going to be long, isn't it? And then, nope, it's pretty quick.
But, I mean, there's content for you there if you want it, right? Like, you could stretch it out into 30, 40 hours.
If you really have fun doing mundane and not satisfying in any way or rewarding in any way things, then yes, there's plenty to do.
So, I mean, here's the point that I want to get to, though, is that, like, we're really shitting on it a lot.
Yeah, listen, for sure.
Like, I actually liked playing Rage a lot. I just think that it was so disappointing in so many ways. Like, it was so meh. But
yeah, the thing is, I love playing it a lot. But it just made me want to go play Doom, because that's the parts I loved.
Yeah, it really does feel like open world Doom. But I mean, if this is a sale game, if this is like, this game's $20 and you're fucking GameStop, sure. And pick it up. I really
think
it's worth it.
And you need something to, yeah. This is just not, this game was not worth a full $60 for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed about it, actually, that I fucking paid for this game.
Yeah, but like, if this game was set at $40, then I'd be like, yeah, this is what I expect. This
yeah,
would have been good.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people had fun with it. I mean, I saw IGN gave it like an 8. I thought that was a little high.
That does sound high.
Because mechanically it is so sound, it's so much fun to play. I didn't really have any gameplay hiccups like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I had no bugs on PC other than the one time with the audio bug.
Like, it's fun to kill enemies. They're super satisfying to kill. Like, moving around is fun. But, like, just, I don't know, the tasks, the check mark list kind of thing. Like, if that's your thing, cool, I guess. But it didn't have that rewarding loop, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just nothing that rewards you for doing it. Where in like Ubisoft games that have these kind of, like, in Far Cry, you have this, it's kind of like a checklist game that Ubisoft has honestly gotten.
Yeah,
like,
they kind of got that down to a T.
That down to a T, and to the point where people are like, oh, this is a Ubisoft game because it's a checklist game. And, like, they do it well, where if you clear, like, a base, you get a skill point, and then that skill point goes into something that then is useful.
Yeah.
Whereas in this game, you do a thing, and then it stops you for, like, 2 minutes so it can show you the experience you got for it, which the
experience... Well, it's a little bit over. It's, like, 10 seconds.
Yeah, okay. It felt like 2 minutes sometimes. That shows you the experience that you don't use for anything, because you use ferrite to level up.
Yeah, feltrite or whatever. You need feltrite for, like, everything.
Yeah.
Like, and so that was the weird
thing,
because I'd get all these nanotrites, and then I would need more feltrite to do things, so it was weird.
And I just don't know what leveling up the people did, other than unlocking vehicles at certain points. Because, like, at level 10 for the mayor, you get the raptor motorcycle. At level 7 for Dr. Kowalski, you get the helicopter.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know what the experience was for.
Well, it was to get you project points, which you could then use in the projects thing. Like, and then that, but none of those were...
Only the combat dude's project points were worth anything.
Well, I mean, I used some of the other ones for, like, crafting, and it would let you use less things to craft more, which is, like,
which
fine.
Is, I didn't really realize you could craft until late in the game, and I had just copious amounts of resources at that point. Because you don't... The only thing you worth crafting really is the health infusions.
Yeah, the health infusions. I never once used
which
anything
I was
else.
Just,
did you? And the, there's
I
like
was
this
just
whole
buying
there's
them
this
all the
whole
time.
Like sub mechanic thing where you have to gather all these resources to like mod yourself, and it'll give you like more weapon damage, more health.
Oh yeah, you could and then you could like get more things to hold and stuff like that.
Yeah, and like that was all fine. I don't know, man. But that's the thing is, like, I don't know. I'm thinking about, like, I play Assassin's Creed Odyssey, right? That's very much a checklist game. It's but it has an interesting story too. Yeah. But it's like I do a mission, I get a better piece of armor, right? I put that piece of armor on, doing more damage. Like, it's got that loop. Like, it's got it super tight. And Rage just doesn't. It just didn't.
It
feel
just
like
no
had it.
Matter how many upgrades you put in, you don't feel that change that the upgrades are doing anything. Which was the big. Kind of a disappointment, but also kind of a testament to how good the gunplay just feels right off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I beat it. That's the thing. I never once was like, I'm not going to finish this game.
Yeah, I mean, I knew I was going to beat it as well. So, it did its job, I guess. Satisfied
I had,
for a week.
I mean, that's the whole thing, I guess. I had fun with the time that I played.
Yeah.
I just wasn't... It was such a, like, just a thing that I did that I was like, okay, cool, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah, if it's $20 in the Walmart...
Bargain bin.
Pick it up, right? It's cool. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
For that, but it's just like not, I don't know. Just play, you know, there's no room for these like 6.5, 7s in like where everything is so good these days.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there is room, right? But I'm just mean like, you know, there's so many
$60 game.
Yeah, there's so many other games to play.
That could be another whole hot topic in itself because like, I think there's room when it's the game's $15 or $20. Then yes, I want an experience that I don't have to be super invested in. I don't need to feel like this game changed my life. Where I didn't need Rage 2 to change my life, but I wanted to be having fun from when I started playing until the end, and not be having fun every 15 minutes or so when I'm actually in combat and not driving my car around.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'd argue that they should have charged less, because I feel like that also sets a precedent for how people view the game.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess that's kind of the gist of it. If you know, play it if you will. If that's your thing, cool. You'll have fun with it. If it's kind of a mindless podcast game, which if that's also kind of fun sometimes. But
yeah, for
just
sure.
Get it on sale, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone, this has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next week when Mads Mikkelsen comes on to flick a cigarette in our face. Anyways, we love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.